This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Thousands of activists gathered outside a campaign-style rally by Donald Trump on Tuesday evening in Phoenix, Arizona. Inside the Phoenix Convention Center, members of Trump's base gathered to hear the president give a defiant speech totaling more than an hour, during which he railed against the media, conjured up claims of fake news, defended his remarks on the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, and more. Outside, activists railed against Trump's embrace of neo-Nazis while trying to stay out of the way of tear gas deployments by police. Trump had been expected to pardon the notorious convicted former sheriff Joe Arpaio, but ended up not making the announcement. My guest is Maria Castro. She is a community organizer with the Puente Human Rights Movement, a grassroots migrant justice organization based in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the program, Maria.
Thank you for having me.
So first, let's talk about what it was that happened yesterday and what your organization, Puente, put together. I know that the mayor of Phoenix, Greg Stanton, had urged the president not to come to Phoenix. He came anyway. How did you prepare for his visit?
Yeah, for the last couple of days have been a little crazy for us here in Arizona and across the country, definitely. So as soon as we heard that the president was coming, a lot of us in the community got together and we decided to create some kind of facilitation for folks. We knew and we understood that there were going to be way too many folks for us to handle, but our main priority was keeping folks healthy and secure so that they could express themselves and fight against white supremacists like Donald Trump, like Joe Arpaio, in the safest and the healthiest way possible. So a lot of what we were doing was crowd control and just facilitating a process for folks to be able to express themselves.
So how many people showed up? It's really interesting to hear the numbers on the inside versus the outside. Trump sees those who show up as a measure, who show up for his rallies as a measure of his support, and those who show up to protest him, he takes very personally. So can you give us an estimate of the numbers of people that were outside the speech and inside the speech?
Yeah, definitely. There was a few thousand people from the valley all gathered, both on both sides. I think one thing that the city did was they were trying to make our crowd look smaller as much as possible. So what they did is just dispersed us across the sidewalk, kept us in the heat, and tried to minimize our numbers that way. But that didn't work there. So there was a couple thousand folks there.
Now, inside the rally, there was a lot that happened, and I'm assuming you were on the outside and probably didn't get in, but let's get a taste of what happened inside. I want to play a clip of the lengthy speech that Trump gave. I mean, watching this, you would think that he was, this was 2 years ago when he was running for president, but we know that Trump, right after he got into the White House, began basically campaigning for re-election, and it's pretty apparent that's what he was doing in Phoenix on Tuesday night. This is part of what he had to say.
I mean, truly dishonest people in the media and the fake media. They make up stories. They have no sources in many cases. They say a source says there is no such thing, but they don't report the facts. Just like they don't want to report that I spoke out forcefully against hatred, bigotry, and violence, and strongly condemned the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and the KKK. I openly called for unity, healing, and love, and they know it because they were all there. So what I did, is I thought I'd take just a second, and I'm really doing this more than anything else, because you know where my heart is, okay? I'm really doing this to show you how damn dishonest these people are. So here is my first statement when I heard about Charlottesville. And I have a home in Charlottesville, a lot of people don't know. Here's the first. Can't believe they haven't figured that one out yet. Now they know. Now they finally know. But I don't want to bore you with this, but it shows you how dishonest they are. And most of you know this anyway. So here's what I said really fast. Here's what I said on Saturday. We're closely following the terrible events unfolding in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is me speaking. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. That's me speaking on Saturday, right after the event. So I'm condemning the strongest possible terms, egregious display, hatred, bigotry, and violence. Okay, I think you can't do much about it, right? Okay, but they didn't want to put this on. They had it on initially, but then when they talked, he didn't say it fast enough. He didn't do it on time. Why did it take a day? He must be a racist. It took a day.
Donald Trump speaking to his base at a campaign-style event in Phoenix, Arizona on Tuesday night. That was just a taste of what he said, sounding a little bit defensive about his remarks in Charlottesville and wanting to prove to his base that he came out strongly against the violence in Charlottesville. Maria Castro is my guest. She's with Puente Human Rights Movement in Phoenix, Arizona, one of the organizations that organized outside the speech. And Maria, he here was trying to basically make the case that he was being falsely accused of being a racist. Do you count even just that minor thing as a win? Because of course, we want to make racists afraid of being openly racist in this country once more. And for the president to say to his base, and try to be defensive and, you know, basically come out and say that they tried to accuse him of being racist, but he's not. Should we be happy that he considers being racist a bad thing?
You know, it's not about whether he considers it or not. He is a racist. And we've known racists here in Arizona for a very long time. Puente has been around for almost a decade now, and they've been fighting against racist, racism, white supremacy, and its policies that have been implemented all across the valley, particularly here in Maricopa County with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And so we know racists all too well. Doesn't matter if they accept the label or not, they still implement these hateful policies that at the end of the day hurt our community.
It was interesting. There was a very well-placed African-American supporter of Trump just behind him, holding a very clear sign saying Blacks for Trump. It feels as though a lot of these folks on the right, like Trump, use people of color, the very small numbers of people of color, as tokens to prove that they have support among people of color, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it doesn't matter what color folks are, right? I think what's important is the fact that we were outside making sure that folks had a space for them to express themselves and fight against the white supremacists.
What were some of the things that people were saying outside? There's so much to protest. I mean, Trump talked about expanding the Afghanistan war a day before he came to Phoenix. The violence in Charlottesville was still fresh on people's minds. What was the main theme of protesters outside of the Phoenix Convention Center?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things that we were talking about was that white supremacy was not going to be pardoned. Whether he decided to pardon Arpaio or not, we could not forgive the white supremacist nature of his administration. We could not pardon it because there are women, there are LGBTQ, there are poor, there are folks who are disabled, undocumented people. Everyone is under attack with this administration. And so all the folks were coming out with their own reasons on why they were upset with this administration. Not just Arpaio.
And for those who are not familiar with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, not only has he rallied with candidate Trump before Trump became president and is very openly a supporter of Trump, he, of course, most importantly, is somebody who, while he was sheriff, pushed for extremely racist policies in Phoenix, Arizona, particularly aimed at Latinos, people suspected of being undocumented immigrants. We've covered it extensively on our show, and people can find out more on our website or literally just Google Arpaio and you'll find the work that he's notorious for. And I know your organization had a strong hand in helping defeat him last November, one bright spot in last November's election. So he was convicted of a felony charge. It was criminal contempt of court. We actually interviewed your colleague, Francisca Porchas, some weeks ago about it. So then the news came out that Trump might pardon Arpaio. In fact, Trump retweeted a Fox News, I believe it was, article saying that he might pardon Arpaio as an indication that he might do so. And he did that on Twitter. What do you make of the fact that Arpaio, in the end, was not invited to the campaign-style rally?
You know, I think it shows how intimidated Trump is by the power of grassroots organizing. I think he didn't want to cause any further agitation because he fears us. And so I think that should be an example to the rest of the country, that there is strength in numbers and even more so in folks who are organized together. I think for us, a large part of the work that we do is centered around dismantling the hatred and the evil policies that Arpaio had implemented over the past 24 years.
And in Charlottesville, you had a big part of the problem, and the reason why there was one death and several injuries was because white supremacists and counter protesters were right next to each other. Police made no move to get in between them or protect people. What happened in Arizona and Phoenix? Were all of the Trump supporters simply inside the halls and it was outside that all the counter protesters were there?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the white supremacists that we faced last night were in blue uniforms with badges from the Phoenix Police Department. Those were the white supremacists that were attacking our community last night.
So why do you characterize Phoenix police as white supremacist?
Yeah, they are actually the most murderous police department per capita in the country. And so for us...
More than the LAPD?
Yeah, more than the LAPD per capita, yes. Hmm. And so... for us, we had been taking a lot of safety measures. We even have a secondary location for safety that I was at for folks to retreat to in case not just the Trump supporters attacked, but in case the Phoenix Police Department attacked. And they did. Instead of asking the crowd to disperse last night, what they proceeded to do was attack our community members with chemical weapons, with children, elderly, disabled folks in the crowd with no warning.
Right. So let's talk about the tear gas deployments for our video, for our TV audience. You can see the video of tear gas in the air. You're saying that there was no announcement to disperse, that police simply launched tear gas?
That's correct. That's what we are hearing from all the community members that were on the front lines, even the news media last night during the police department's chief press conference with the mayor. The media was calling her out on her lies, you know, that she said that it was actually a protester who threw a gas canister at the police first, but it was actually the police who threw the gas canister at the crowd, and it was kicked away from the group by one of the protesters, and it wasn't to attack the police, but rather to defend the other folks in the crowd.
And so how did people then, were there arrests as well? I mean, did people walk away injured?
Yeah, a lot of folks made it to the secondary location. Some folks covered in pepper spray, others in tear gas, some with bruises from the pepper balls that were shot directly at people. Again, all of this without warning. The Phoenix Police Department has our contact information, and they could have asked us to disperse the crowd, but instead they chose to use chemical weapons openly on a crowd in Phoenix, Arizona.
What do you make of Greg Stanton's statement? He actually wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post ahead of Trump's visit there saying, basically, don't come to my city. And, you know, given the extreme sort of, well, let's just say euphemistically, polarization over Trump. He may not be welcome in many cities around the country. What a strange time we live in, that the president of this country is being asked by a mayor of an American city to not visit because of the potential for violence.
You know, I think this is, again, a stunt from the mayor's office to score cheap political points from the Democratic Party.
He's a Democrat.
Needs to do more, and every mayor across the country needs to do more. This is not the time for speeches. This is the time for actions. We cannot continue to allow people like Mayor Greg Stanton to grandstand and say, oh, I stand with the community, and do absolutely nothing to defend it, and rather sanction the attacks on community members last night.
So what could Greg Stanton do in Phoenix to improve people's lives? I understand that, you know, the Democratic Party people were out in force as well in Phoenix on Tuesday night. So it's one thing to say, you know, we're not like Trump, we're not like the Republican Party. But when there is power in the hands of Democrats, are they doing enough to set themselves apart from the Republicans?
No, they're not. Actually, the Phoenix Police Department, again, not only is the most murderous police department in the country, but they are also in the top three with the most deportations in the country coming through the arrests that they make. And so, you know, again, trying to score cheap political points, says he doesn't want deportations, but is leading in the nation with deportations with his police department. And so that's the first thing that he can do to start changing policies and ask the sheriff, the new sheriff, Paul Pinzone, to remove immigration agents from the Maricopa County jails on 4th Avenue. And so that's the first thing and the most important thing that he can do is to stop collaborating with immigration, because there are immigration agents within the Maricopa County jails.
Right. So even though Arpaio is not sheriff anymore, it's not as though Phoenix and Maricopa County has become a safe place for undocumented people, for people of immigrant origin, right?
That's correct. You know, Arpaio is out, but a lot of his policies still remain. It took him 24 years to build up to where he was.
Wow.
It's going to take a lot of steps for Paul Pinzone to dismantle that. And the mayor needs to urge Paul Pinzone to take immigration agents out of the 4th Avenue Jail in Maricopa County.
Well, Maria, how can people support the work that you do in Phoenix through Puente? Phoenix and Maricopa County in general is a major hotspot in the nation around immigrant rights, and the work that Puente has done has been very effective. So is there a website people can use to find out more about your work?
Yeah, definitely. You can find us on Facebook as Puente Human Rights Movement. On our website is puenteaz.org, on Twitter as well, puenteaz. And the reality is that right now it's not a time for folks to want to support other groups, but rather create their own groups and join an organization. Wherever it is that you are, in your own city, in your own state, join an existing organization or create your own.
That's puenteaz.org. Maybe people can learn from the work you're doing to start their own work in their own communities. Maria, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you for having me.
My guest is Maria Castro. She is a community organizer with Puente Human Rights Movement, a grassroots migrant justice organization based in Phoenix, Arizona. We've been discussing Donald Trump's visit to Phoenix on Tuesday night. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.